Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Our next guest used to work on this radio show. See, our next guest is proof that you can grow up. You can reach beyond this radio show and do big things. You've got a baby now. You've got a partner in crime. You can hear him on 710 AM Seattle Sports, part of the pregame and postgame show for the Mariners. Anchors the Seahawks show. Big Arizona fan. I'm sorry about that. Curtis Rogers. Formerly on these airwaves, now he has gone on to bigger and better things in Seattle. He joins us now. How's that baby of yours?
Oh, she is perfect, John. She is the absolute best. She turned one yesterday, so a big, big milestone here in the Rogers household. A lot of smiles yesterday. A lot of relieved parents in this household, for sure. We made it through the first year. But it is a blast, and it's great to hear from you. And I had a lot of fun working with you all those years ago. I think it was, 5 years now?
Yeah.
It seems just like yesterday I was tearing it up down there with you guys.
I remember when you moved to Portland to host the show, and maybe you can share with our listeners what happened, but I remember it not being that smooth of an entry.
Correct. Yeah. So I think within my first couple weeks of moving down there, my car got stolen and most of my possessions were still in my car.
Oh,
so I was about to move into my place. And so I had all my stuff in my car and then it got stolen from a park and ride. I forget which one. It was on the blue line of the MAX. So your listeners can probably fill you in on which one it might be. But lost all my stuff, but luckily we found the car and my insurance took good care of it. But it was a rough landing, but even through all of that, I still have very fond memories of being down there in Rip City.
Was all your stuff gone out of the car, or did they just like take everything out of it by the time you recovered it?
They pretty much gutted the car. The seats were still in it, but nearly everything was gone. There was, they even took stuff out of the glove box, which I only keep like napkins in there. So it was a thorough job by whoever perpetrated all that.
Yeah, well done. Thorough job. Curtis Rogers joining us from 710 Radio in Seattle. Let's start with the Seahawks. The schedule comes out. There's a game against the Broncos and Russell Wilson. How did the schedule release in general go over as you examine it from a Seahawks perspective?
I think from a Seahawks perspective, when you look at the schedule release, you always are kind of able to tell where your team stands in the national perspective based on how many primetime games there are. And this year there are only two, and they're 14 weeks apart. It's week one against Denver, Monday Night Football, and then the required Thursday night game that everybody plays on. So you're bound to get one, no matter if you go 0-17 or you win the Super Bowl. So the Seahawks got their one on Thursday Night Football, and then they get one other on Monday Night Football. And, looking at this team right now, I can see why there isn't a lot of national intrigue. I mean, the quarterback situation is not one that is going to encapture a lot of NFL fans. I mean, you're looking at Geno Smith and Drew Lock right now. That's not exactly, the ideal situation that any team's looking for at that spot. So just with the schedule release, I mean, there are certain wrinkles. They have the game in Munich against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson's returns to Seattle bookend the schedule. But I think just you kind of get that sense that on a national level right now, the Seahawks just aren't really at the forefront of the conversation anymore.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people are watching Russell Wilson. Will the Seahawks fans root for him, or are they kind of like, indifferent, root against him? What will be their reaction, not in that game against the Seahawks, but just in general?
I think there will be more boos than cheers at Lumen Field, whatever they're calling the stadium now. But I think there will be more boos than cheers simply because of how things ended. It clearly was not something that happened overnight. This was a relationship that deteriorated over the course of a couple of years, mainly after the Super Bowl in the 2020 season. He goes on the Dan Patrick Show, Russell Wilson does, and says, look, I'm tired of getting hit. I'm tired of, you know, taking as many sacks as I do. And that really was the, you know, the domino that started everything in the breakup that was Pete Carroll, John Schneider, and Russell Wilson. And then it got to, you know, just a head. It came to a head this last offseason or just a couple months ago, and the Seahawks actually went through with it and traded Russell Wilson to the Broncos. Now, I mean, this wasn't the first time Russell's name had gotten floated out there in rumors. I believe the Bears came really close to acquiring him a couple offseasons ago. I know Washington, they made an offer. I think Philadelphia was also in on Russell Wilson. So it's not like this was a one-time godfather offer that the Seahawks got from the Denver Broncos. I think this was just them looking at the situation, finding a team that Russ wanted to play for, and then they're like, all right, we'll grant you your wish. But there has been some bad blood, I think, between the two sides. I mean, obviously, looking at the statements that Pete Carroll, John Schneider, and Jody Allen released during Russell Wilson's introductory press conference with the Broncos, I think that was a pretty calculated maneuver on their part.
We're talking to Curtis Rogers, 7:10 a.m. in Seattle, pre- and post-game on the Mariners, Seahawks, and other stuff. Does a podcast as well. Where can they find your podcast?
You can find it at seattlesports.com, and you can also download it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. We're focusing on baseball right now because it is baseball season, called Extra Innings. And, yeah, I mean, you can also check me out on the Jake and Stacy Show as well, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
George Kirby gets the call up. Mariners bring him up from AA Arkansas, and he was sensational in his debut on Sunday. Struck out 7, 6 scoreless innings, got a no decision. What was it like to see him pitch, and how much enthusiasm around George Kirby?
There's plenty of enthusiasm around him. I mean, the Mariners have had their fair share of top prospects get called up over the last couple of seasons. Julio Rodriguez, Jared Kelnick, Logan Gilbert. George Kirby, I think, probably had the least fanfare of all of them. But boy, his debut was probably the most impressive of the four. He had just an absolutely dominant performance from him. I was there at the stadium on Sunday. It was a gorgeous day at T-Mobile Park. His college buddies, I think he had a group of like 30 or 40 people sitting right behind home plate that were in on every pitch and giving the home plate umpire a hard time if he ever got down in the count. But that kid had a ton of poise, especially going up against a team like Tampa Bay, who has been one of the better organizations over the last, you know, decade in baseball. But looking at just how he was able to dominate that lineup, I mean, his poise on that afternoon was very impressive for somebody making their debut in Major League Baseball. I made the remark that, you know, it looks like his resting heart rate is about 30 beats per minute. I mean, that guy did not get too far up. He did not get too far down. He knew the task at hand, and he executed, and he just was so, so impressive. Makes you wonder why he wasn't up earlier in the season with the Mariners, but, hey, they'll gladly take anybody that can stop the bleeding right now because this is a team that is struggling. So to get a start like they did on that day was a tremendous lift, considering all that they have gone through over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there was a lot of hope in this season. I guess there's hope every spring. You know, baseball season starts and everybody, you know, thinks they're going all the way. Right now, this Mariners team in its current form, you know, do you feel like this team can contend if they continue to get, you know, Kirby playing well? I mean, is this a team that can matter? I guess let's not even use contend. Can they matter this season?
Mattering is a big, big step for this franchise, as we know, because it's been 21 years since they last played a playoff game, 2001. They're going to need a lot more contributions from guys who they were relying heavily upon. And I look at the guys in the outfield specifically. Mitch Haniger will likely be out, you know, close to the All-Star break. We found that out this week from Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times. You just sent down Jared Kelnick today to AAA Tacoma. Julio Rodriguez has been good over the last couple of weeks, starting to live up to the hype that was surrounding his call-up during spring training, and Jesse Winker, who they acquired from Cincinnati, has given them hardly anything. So those four guys right now, if they can play to what expectations were of them, obviously this season looks a lot different. But mattering right now, boy, I mean, just looking at this AL West race, the Angels are really good this year. Their pitching has taken a big step forward. The Astros are still the Astros. Jeremy Pena filling in for Carlos Correa, who left for Minnesota. You don't even notice a difference there. It just seems like this Astros team is still going to be among the contenders in the American League. And that American League West race, if you allow the Angels and Astros to run away with things, you better hope that you hold up your end of the bargain in the season's second half. Because this portion of the schedule right now that the Mariners enter on, it is going to be very tough. Starting tonight against the Mets, they play Toronto. It doesn't get any easier over the next week or so, and this Mariners team right now could use a break or two because things just have not broken their way over the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Curtis Rogers is with us from 7:10 a.m. in Seattle, ESPN affiliate there. The Blazers have got a long history, obviously, in Portland. You got the Kraken in your market. You've got the potential for the NBA to return and fill the void left by the Sonics' departure. Do Seattle fans... Would Seattle fans balk at the idea, and Blazer fans don't get mad at me here, balk at the idea of stealing the Blazers? Because I have heard that, and I've heard other people say, no, we'll take any NBA team.
I think they would balk at the idea of the Blazers moving to Seattle. I mean, Seattle fans, I think, want an NBA team back, but not in the way that it was stolen from them by taking another team from another market. Now, I do think that if a team were to move to Seattle from another market, I don't think people would have any trouble rooting for them eventually. That would not sit well, I think, with a lot of people just because of how the Sonics left, 15 years ago now. So I look at the future of the NBA. It seems like the wheels are in motion towards expansion in the NBA. Brian Windhorst, who joined us up here in Seattle, I want to say about a year ago, coming off the heels of Adam Silver kind of briefly mentioning that expansion is something that had been discussed amongst the NBA league offices, said that, yeah, Seattle makes a lot of sense, especially now with the new arena on the footprint of Old Key Arena. Climate Pledge Arena is what it's called now. So you hear a lot about Las Vegas being another possible expansion city. I think if the NBA does expand, it will likely be by two teams and potentially two teams out west just to cut down on travel for a lot of these teams in western markets. That, to me, makes the most sense. And look, I mean, we don't quite know the extent of all the revenue lost because of COVID across the NBA, but you set the expansion fee on two teams at, $3-4 billion, you divvy that up amongst the 30 other teams in the NBA, that's a nice payday for a lot of these team owners.
We're talking to Curtis Rogers, pre- and post-game on the Mariners on 7:10 a.m. in Seattle, also on the Seahawks, and you can catch his podcast as well as part of the coverage there. Curtis, before I cut you loose here, you've got the college teams in your state, Washington and Washington State, the Pac-12 is obviously lagged far behind. Which of those two teams in the state of Washington finishes higher in the North Division next season in your mind?
I think I'm going to go with the Cougs right now. I think Washington State has less of a hole to dig themselves out of than the Huskies do. Jimmy Lake left the Husky program in such a hole right now. And looking at the state of recruiting for UW, I mean, I would not envy Kalen DeBoer right now having to repair a lot of the relationships that Jimmy Lake was unable to cultivate during his brief tenure as head coach at Washington. I think Jake Dickert did a really good job of steadying the ship following the firing of Nick Rolovich as Washington State's head coach. They're going to be, you know, welcoming in a new quarterback at Washington State, Cameron Ward, who has experience playing in the air raid. His offensive coordinator at Incarnate Word is now the offensive coordinator at Washington State. So I think there is going to be less of a hole for the Cougs to dig themselves out of. And looking at Washington's quarterback situation right now, I mean, of the three guys, Michael Penix, Sam Heward, and Dylan Morris, none of the three really did much to separate themselves during UW spring game or really in UW spring practices. So it just seems like there has not been any sort of, you know, leader taking that next step as UW signal caller. So whereas Washington State, they know who their guy's going to be in week one. So right now I think Washington State is in better position to have success in the 2022 season than Washington. But look, I mean, I would say Washington still has more talent on their roster. I just think that the season they had last year threw the program into almost total disarray, that it's going to take a while for them to right that ship.
Curtis Rogers, great to hear your voice, my friend. Congratulations to that baby girl, 1 year old. You're about 5 years away from having a bouncy house at your next birthday party.
I can't wait. Can't wait for that birthday party, but I'm going to live it up tomorrow for the first one. John, really appreciate hearing from you, and thanks for having me on today.
Curtis Rogers, there he is, the kid from Kent. You can follow him on Twitter, at a kid from Kent. Leave it here. Anna joins us. You got the BFT.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Anna is in the studio, fresh off the playground at school. I never get to say that. You're fresh off the playground. What is that like, being on the playground at elementary school these days?
It's a lot of fun. It's less fun than when you were a kid.
Really?
Because it's a lot of, don't do that. No, that doesn't look wise.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. But
good idea or bad idea? That's what I say.
Yeah, that's a good one because it makes the kid decide.
Yeah.
Like, they have to make that judgment.
Is throwing that concrete block a good idea or a bad idea? What do you think? Our kid, our middle kid, you had a funny story about her on the break, and you didn't get to finish it, so just tell it on air. What happened? You were at?
She saw some kid's backpack, and it had Beyblades on it. Now, if you don't know what Beyblades
are. Yeah, back way up here and explain it, because I barely know what Beyblades are.
I barely know what they are either, so I'm going to try to explain it. But there are these toys that are a combination of metal and plastic, and you can battle with them in these mini arenas. And they're, okay, I guess, all the rage right now for kids.
Okay, hold on.
Of a certain age bracket.
You still got to go back and understand. You're skipping over what it is. Because I still don't understand what you're talking about. So
I just explained it the best that I could.
There's no visual representation. Could you explain what it is? Back way up. You have to paint a picture. You're on radio here.
I know. I'm trying, and I don't even really understand them. But think about, like, Transformers that you might have played with when you were little that kind of changed shapes, and then you could pretend to battle with them.
Okay, what does battle mean? I'm throwing them at people's faces?
No. Okay. So there's, like, a little plastic arena about a foot large in diameter. Maybe it's 2 feet in diameter.
Okay.
And two kids that have Beyblades can put their said toy into the thing, and you can spin them toward each other.
A dreidel. They're pretty much like Transformers and dreidels mixed. Then in this
Thank you.
Explain to me what a dreidel is.
Like a spinner, a topper.
Okay, a top. So this thing is spinning?
Yeah.
And then how do you score in this game?
You knock them out of the arena, I think.
Okay. If it knocks out of the arena, you get a point. If your opponent's Beyblade stops spinning, you get a point. You get 2 points if their Beyblade is burst during a battle. What is a burst?
Whoa, what's a burst?
I have no idea. You're... Okay, so anyway, this is you play some defense, you play some offense, you can attack.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like glorified marbles for like my generation.
Yes.
We used to take yarn and make a circle.
Yarn?
You had to knock the other person's marble out of the circle.
You used yarn? Wow. That's so provincial. How cute.
Okay, now people understand what Beyblades are, kind of.
Kind of.
Probably not. But
How am I doing?
What is this become a phenomenon?
It is, and I only know about it because we have kids, but if you ask any kid between the age of like 5 and probably 12, they know what these things are, and they're huge in that age range.
Did you know what they were, Adam? Beyblades?
I did. They kind of came into popularity as I just grew out of the age. So I've seen them before. I never really owned them or played with them, though.
Okay, yeah. but this used to be a popular toy like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's coming back.
Coming
back in the trend.
2000 to 2005. I've already know more about Beyblades than you do, Anna, and you're trying to describe them.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so this is... they've apparently invaded American homes.
Yes.
The Beyblades.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's a fad. Okay.
So our middle daughter saw a backpack with Beyblades on them and got so excited on the playground.
It was today.
Yeah, some other kid that had that backpack, and she's like, she went right into this mode that I don't even know that I could explain that well, except she got really excited and she said, "Oh, look, a Beyblade backpack. You should come to Worlds of Sport. We're going to have a Beyblade tournament there." I was just dying. And the other parents were laughing, too, because she sounded like a commercial
for
Worlds of Sport.
I love that.
So she's excited. And then, of course, it spurred the conversation. What's Worlds of Sport? Oh, it's this sports convention where it's going to be a celebration of all things sport.
Oh, so Beyblades are going to be at Worlds of Sport.
Yes, there will be a tournament.
There'll be an official, I think it's like a championship-level tournament. So kids can come and they can participate and they can play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a relatively local enthusiast. He's from Seattle. He's put on tournaments before here in the Northwest, and he will be at Worlds of Sport.
I love that.
And I guess there will be prizes. There's a Beyblade retailer locally that's going to be offering prizes and raffle things. And
maybe
like
Adam can pull out his Beyblades and he can go down there and dominate all the kids who are trying to chase their dreams. Just crush them, Adam.
Yeah, I'll just get, you know, I'm leaving after today. I'm actually not joining a new job. I'm only going to become a pro Beyblader.
He's turning pro.
You're going to get sponsored.
Adam is in the portal. He's going into the Beyblade portal. So worldsofsport.com if you want to get tickets to the event. But it's Father's Day weekend, June 18th and 19th. Why not bring your kids over and learn what Beyblades are?
Yeah, you can come.
That's what I'm going to do.
I'm
going to be at the Beyblade, like, because the event has, like, a full basketball court, football goalposts. It's got baseball. You can throw your pitch and get your radar gun on the baseball.
Oh, that's
cool.
I didn't know
You that. Can make a putt in golf. There's all kinds of memorabilia and panel discussions and esports and everything. But I'm going to be over at Beyblades, and I'm going to have my hand up. Question. What are you doing? What is that
thing? Is this a disqualification?
Yeah. What is that thing?
Yeah, place the security over there.
Yeah.
If it gets too heated.
I love that. By the way, Adam's last day today. Anna, I debated what to get Adam. And, you know, I like to give a parting gift.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody has contributed to the show in a meaningful way, when they say bye, I like to, you know, I don't give him he's not like vested in the BFT pension. You know, he's not in there yet. He was only here a year. He's not in the pension plan. But
he was still probationary.
He's like the guy at the Regal Cinemas that has the trainee tag on.
Yeah, I think I have like $37 in my 401k.
We were going to take the trainee tag off him that 1 year.
Yeah, tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
Tomorrow the trainee tag was coming off.
It would have come right off.
No.
And instead, he's
one day short.
He's leaving.
One day.
So I thought all week, what do I give Adam? And then I found out Peter Sampson, coming up on The Pulse tonight at 6 o'clock, he's going to let Adam host a segment.
Oh.
So I thought, I can do that.
Nice.
I'll just one-up Peter.
Yeah.
Kind of like step in front of Peter and let Adam host the last segment of today's show at 5:45. Adam, it's your show. About an hour from now, hour and 15, you're going to get to finish the show. The last 10 or 15 minutes will be yours, or whatever's left over will
wow.
be yours. This is kind of like me finding a Three Musketeer bar that I ate like half of it at the movie theater.
Yeah.
And I'm going, Adam, you can have the rest of whatever's in my pocket.
So thoughtful of you.
And let's just see if the guy learned anything.
Yeah. It's like your bar exam as a lawyer. After you yeah. work in radio for a year, can you host a competent segment for 10, 15 minutes?
He's been here while I am like the maestro playing this radio show,
uh-huh.
observing greatness
yeah.
for this last year.
Uh-huh.
What did Adam pick up?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't worth a damn when we got him. But you know what? He's getting pretty good right now.
I'll be eager to hear that.
Let's see what he does.
Can he carry the torch to the pulse?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Normally at the end of the show, like I log off, whatever, the
yeah.
show's over. I shut down the equipment. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff, housekeeping I have to do at the end of the show. Today, no. I am going to get a cool beverage, and I am going to sit back, put my feet up, and I'm going to listen to Adam host the last segment of the show. Now, Adam, do you know yet what you'll do with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I have an idea. Yeah. I wrote down a couple of stuff I want to talk about.
Mm. Did you give him some parameters? Is he just going to go off the rails? Has he been secretly like harboring resentment toward you, and he's just going to let it go in the last 15
it could
minutes?
Be. It's the 7:50 the game tell-all.
It could be. All right, now that all the adults are out of the room.
It's like you're in the confessional room of the real world.
Tell you what Canzano does that I can't stand.
Exactly.
Every day.
The phone lines just light up.
Well, what if he takes calls and it's like between he and the callers, all the things they hate about the show. And that's the last.
It's a roast, only yeah. you're not present.
Yeah.
That would be great, Adam. Yeah.
So that's
are
coming
up. Inspiring you?
That's coming up in hour number three.
Everyone stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. I've often talked over the years about, you know, my fascination with my own demise. I was pleased today to learn that I'm not the only one who has a fascination with that.
No.
Comedian Norm MacDonald, the late Norm MacDonald, he recorded a comedy show in his living room.
Really?
And 1 hour show. And he filmed it. They found it. They produced it. They're going to release it.
Oh, my goodness.
Norm MacDonald, like, back from the dead wow. comedy show.
Wow.
Will you watch it?
Yeah, sure. I'll watch it.
What's it going to be on?
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
No,
it's
I'm
a comedy
saying,
show.
Did, like, Netflix buy it? Did, like, Hulu have it? Did
oh,
somebody
you're asking,
buy
like,
the
actual
oh, what is it going to be on?
Yeah.
Who's on first? I don't know. What's on second? No. Norm MacDonald, it'll be on Netflix.
Okay.
So... it's called Norm MacDonald, Nothing Special. Get it?
That's great.
Nothing Special.
That's brilliant.
May 30th, it'll pop up. Apparently, he recorded it in his living room in the summer of 2020.
Okay.
And he did it just in case he was unable to beat cancer. He
oh,
said
wow.
he wanted one last show for aww. His listeners. And, you know, Drew, my good friend, sent me the story. And he said, hey, there's the story. And I said, this is kind of like my radio bit. Like... I've recorded a whole show that will air after I die.
You have not. Seriously? You really have?
We've talked about this on air. Are you
no,
new?
I know that you have tweets set to fire after
no,
you
no,
die.
No, did a whole show.
Do you think that's good juju to do that?
I think it is,
you
actually.
You have no current diagnosis.
It's no, but I... you think I'm inviting a
I'm just
bad
saying,
diagnosis?
You know how you can invite energy your
no,
way?
No, no, no. The show, it's just designed, like, I don't know, I could be crossing the street later today, get hit by a dump truck. I don't know, you know, so it's you know,
what
I could
a way to live.
I could be out in the backyard blowing up that bouncy house tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
And the thing topples over on me and suffocates
if that's
me.
That's how you go. I'd be like, well, he died doing
yeah.
what he loved.
Anna would be the ultimate I told you so for Anna.
Oh,
you know what would be the worst part of that?
What?
Let's just say, hypothetically... that would be a really good Curb Your Enthusiasm. Okay, so yeah, I'm in the backyard. I got the blower out. I'm
yeah.
blowing up the bouncy house. Let's just say the thing rolls over on me and suffocates me.
Yeah.
But nobody can find me. Yeah. The house is there, but the party goes on. The kids are bouncing on the house.
Just your corpse flying underneath it.
And they don't find me until like Monday.
Like the Wicked Witch
when they're They're disassembling the bouncy house. And they're like, we haven't seen him since Saturday. Nobody knows. Did he just run off? Where did he go? And they find me with a smile on my face, no doubt.
Yeah.
Underneath the bouncy house.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Norm MacDonald, will you watch the show?
I will, but it'll make me so sad because I'll know that he's dead. You know?
But he wanted to do this. It was, you know, he wanted people to see him one last time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like my radio show.
Yeah.
That last
one. So you really do, where, like, are there more people than you who know where that is stored?
You don't have to know everything, okay?
I'm just saying, what's the fail-safe on that? Is that saved on a drive somewhere?
You don't worry about it. It's taken care of. There's people that know where it is, okay?
Okay, you got a guy.
I got a guy who has a guy who knows where it is,
jeez.
Okay? You don't have to be in charge of everything. That's the typical mom thing you just did. The moms of the world, I love moms. You do a great job as a mom. But you don't need to be in charge of where is my postmortem show.
I just need the passwords to your various accounts so that, like, I can access your photos after your death.
You got it. Just get my eye or my thumbprint. And, you know, you can do that.
From your corpse?
Yeah, after they roll the bouncy house back, just be like, hold on a second. Let's open his phone so I can get his photos.
His phone.
They're all in the cloud anyway. You got the bald face truth. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald face truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.